The Israel Report with Rolene Marks for the latest information and the stories behind the news.
Rolene Marks, have you made any sense of what is going on this mad planet of ours?
Well, first of all, just to weigh in on your music choices, I'm a huge Tom Petty fan and very sad that we lost, in my opinion, one of the greatest.
And young.
Young, 66 years old. But I think, as Sheryl Crow said on Twitter, that yesterday was the day that could have been the day that music truly died, because it's proof that you can't go to concerts and take your safety for granted. And then we lose one of rock's greatest legends, the profoundly brilliant Tom Petty. But to weigh in, and I have to drag the soapbox from under the desk again. And I said it yesterday, I'm going to say it again. Can we move away from this lefty, righty, libtot, snowflake, this kind of lexicon? Because it really is killing our credibility when it comes to making smart, sane, and rational arguments. You know, he's a lefty is not a good enough
No, of course not. Of course not.
Anymore. No. And with reference to the statement that, you know, he was a supposed lefty, attended Antifa, the whole mystery around the shooter is that nobody knows his motive. It's still very unclear.
Yeah, and I must tell you, I'm not buying.
Did what he did.
I'm not buying the thing that somebody who snapped. Somebody who snapped acts very quickly and very irrationally. This is planned, and this is a proper thought out and orchestrated event. I don't buy this. I don't buy this at all.
This whole attack has really broken all the usual profiling stereotypes that we are used to. And I think it's also taught us a lesson in erring on the side of caution when it comes to jumping to conclusions, because very often you'll say, he did this, it must be a terror attack. But we really have no answer still as of yesterday. I know that the Islamic State were very quick to claim responsibility, but they very much have a dog in the race when it comes to these kind of events. You know, they are quite, as you said yesterday, quite rightly, losing a lot of their influence, are losing a lot of credibility in certain areas where they have been strong, and things are now their influence. Influence is kind of waning in certain areas, and they really have a lot to gain by claiming responsibility. That is why I was very, very loath to run with the story yesterday, even though I saw that there were multiple sources that said this. But we have the FBI in America and other law enforcement saying that no, there is absolutely no evidence that he was a member of ISIS or one of its soldiers.
So what's interesting is one of our listeners said that he's a member of Antifa and has recommended a look at Pamela Geller's website, which I'm doing. And she's claiming there that footage of Vegas attacker Stephen Paddock at an anti-Trump protest. Look, I don't know if that's him or not. He's wearing a pink T-shirt and a very pink hat with ears. So it's quite difficult to I mean, he could be Hugh Hefner for all I know, in this picture. But so I don't know. I think we all, and this is the part I guess that bothers me is of course Pamela Geller's got, and I'm not even saying it's not even true, but of course Pamela Geller's going to say that, and of course somebody else is going to say he's a right wing fanatic, and somebody else is going to say he's just a guy that snapped. We all just simply want to believe the narrative that we continue to espouse, and that's really the part of it that's bothering me more here than anything. Can't we just wait to see? Is there an element of trust maybe that's broken, that no one believes anything that comes from anywhere?
You raise a very good point. You know, unfortunately, Pamela Geller is not in my opinion, a news source that I would rely on. I like to check with the absolute final say or final authority on matters like this. And to me, that is entities like the FBI or law enforcement or the CIA intelligence. That to me is probably the most credible resource. And until such time as a statement is released on that, that is what I am intending to believe. You know, perhaps this is a new phenomenon that we haven't seen before. And that's just as worrying because we don't have any history of profiling or any precedent to compare it to. But what is frightening is that, as you say, I don't think he was somebody who just went postal. This was meticulously planned. He had an arsenal of about 23 weapons. He was a licensed hunter, fisherman, and he was somebody who had absolutely no criminal record, not a driving or parking violation, absolutely nothing. He was somebody completely off the grid. And he was somebody who was reasonably well off financially. He had nothing to gain from it. I mean, the only kind of description that we have coming from the local sheriff in Las Vegas and the FBI is that they can describe him as a lone psychopath. That is the only thing that they can describe about him at the moment.
Well, so what's interesting as well is Fox News have just released information on Mary Lou Danley, who is, of course, the companion of the shooter, and it turns out that in fact she lived with Paddock, and it turns out she was actually in the Philippines at the time of the shooting, and that's why she's been cleared as a person of interest. But it seems that they have not been able to get hold of her yet. His brother, Paddock's brother, says that he has met her on a number of occasions and sent cookies to Paddock's mother. There's a lot of that theme I've noticed through the brother. He's painting him as this caring, loving son, and maybe slightly eccentric, but a very ordinary guy aside from that. She was in the Philippines at the time of the shooting.
Well, according to his brother as well, Paddock was a high-stakes gambler, that he lived a normal life. He liked to play video poker. He went on cruises. As you've just said, he sent his mother cookies. What is a very interesting fact, and I'm sure that the FBI are all over this, is that their father was a bank robber who was on the FBI's 10 most wanted list. So perhaps there's an element or a lead that the FBI and the like will investigate. But one thing is for sure, it is a horrendous massacre. Howard, you and I both said off air, we are both struggling to wrap our heads around this. And as I was saying to you off air yesterday, when Columbine happened, that was profoundly traumatic for me. And I'm really, really struggling with this as well. What other information we do know is that investigators have found several pounds of an explosive called tannerite in the Mesquite home that he rented out, as well as ammonium nitrate, which is a type of fertilizer. And if we look back to the Oklahoma bombing, fertilizer was a component of that. So what do we know about this guy, apart from the measly facts that have been released? Was he a homegrown terrorist? They don't believe he was Islamic terrorist. We can't say workplace incident. It has brought yet again the debate around gun control to the fore. And, I don't know that much about the gun laws in each individual state in the U.S., but I do know that something has to be done because we cannot continue to have situations like this keep happening.
Yeah, absolutely. Unsigned saying, who needs 23 weapons? Actually, it was more than 40. I think it were 23 found in the hotel room, if I'm not mistaken. But the number that he had altogether was in excess of 40, and he also modified them to become semi-automatic. I don't know if there's a difference between an automatic or semi-automatic. I have to tell you, my knowledge is probably even worse than Rolene's, but it's just the most incredible thing. The other sad bit of information that I saw was that this is the deadliest shooting in American history. 59 people so far confirmed dead. The deadliest shooting until now was the one in the nightclub in Florida, and that was 49 people, and that was only 18 months ago. So you're definitely seeing this trend of deadly shootings and deadliest shootings continuing, and that is very, very frightening.
Absolutely. And, you know, as we said yesterday, our prayers and our thoughts continue to be with the victims and their family and the people of Las Vegas. And last night, the area of Tel Aviv, the municipal buildings of Tel Aviv lit up with the stars and stripes in solidarity with the United States. I know that Paris, the Eiffel Tower was in darkness.
Dark. Actually,
in solidarity.
Rolene, as you're saying that, thoughts and prayers, I saw a video clip with one of the another country western singer saying, "It's please, people, don't just say our thoughts and prayers. Please just pray. Actually do it."
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
And I thought that was quite powerful, because I think we all say that, you know, our thoughts and prayers and my prayers are with you. But you know what? Let's actually put some meaning behind that. And I think that's very, very, very powerful indeed. One of the stories that I wanted to get to, and in fact, because yesterday this news broke and we were following it very, very closely, was the Yom Kippur march of the neo-Nazis in Sweden. Can you bring us up to date as to what happened there?
Well, this is just as a horrendous. 600 members of the Nordic Resistance Movement, which makes no secret of being very, very openly anti-Semitic, paraded in their all-black outfits. And while they were barred from passing near synagogues, and this was from stringent lobbying by the Swedish Jewish community to the government to say, you know, you might say they have the right under Freedoms of Speech and Movement Act to march. The fact that they want to do it on Yom Kippur, the holiest day of the year, is profoundly, profoundly offensive, to say the least. And this was in Copenhagen in Denmark, as well as in Gothenburg, which is just southwest of Stockholm. So demonstrations in two Nordic countries. Some of them wore helmets and had shields. They were waving the green and white flags. And while the courts intervened to say that they had to change their route, was less than a kilometer away. And also, one of the concerns was that this march would clash with the end of a nearby soccer game. And I don't need to tell you and our listeners about soccer thuggery and some of the issues around soccer thugs and anti-Semitic chants teams all over the world. And basically what happened was there were counter-demonstrators who threw fireworks and attempted several times to break the police lines. They wanted to confront these neo-Nazis, and the neo-Nazis also tried to get past the riot police. The police was spokesperson Hans Lippen says stones, bottles, sticks were thrown at us. It got very, very violent, and they detained at least 50 members for violence.
Absolutely frightening. The world is just it's so full of hate. It's that it's really just too terrible indeed. The Palestinian Authority is saying we need to control all of Gaza, including security. How's that going down?
Well, this is something that I know you and I are watching with great interest. So discussions are still underway. And while Abbas said to reporters today that if the Palestinian leader was elected from Hamas, he would respect that. You know, I don't see that happening from somebody who is in his 12th year of his four-year leadership position. So he has said he doesn't want another situation like Hezbollah. He says everything needs to be in the hands of the Palestinian Authority. And he says this, and I quote Mahmoud Abbas directly, he says, "I'll be even more clear, I will not accept reproducing the Hezbollah experience. We are one state, one system, one law, and one weapon." He wants complete control over Hamas's military wing, Izzeddin al-Qassam. Now, the Americans have stepped into the fray and they said, you know, while, you know, it's nice to know that you are trying to reconcile, one of our stipulations is that you recognize the state of Israel. So I want to see how that one is going to play. But, you know, the concern for us is, are they is Hamas trying to kind of get a roundabout way of gaining international legitimacy, because Hamas is still recognized as a terror organization by most of the world. And Hamas have said that the weapons of their armed wing are not up for discussion. They have, in fact, said that there will be no bartering, no discussion, absolutely no discussion, no debate around what happens to their weapons. The weapons should remain in the hands of Hamas.
Very, very interesting indeed. Unfortunately, there we have to leave it. Rolene Marks, you have a fantastic chag. It is, as I was saying to Simon Ploska, an amazing time to be in Israel. It's really a very joyous and fun-filled festival. We will speak to you during Chol HaMoed, and maybe we can get a sense from you when we chat to you on Monday what goes on in Israel during Chol HaMoed Sukkot. What are the things that that people can get up to?
Absolutely. And while it is Yom Simchatenu, it's the Chag of Joy, can we please, everybody, I'm appealing to our listeners out there, let's have some joy in the world so we can tilt the earth back on its axis. How about that?
Oh, man. Great thought indeed. Times 5:28. That's Rolene Marks with the Israel Report, brought to you by the Blue Agency.